Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at a Chukri Show. Hanging out in the Kia Studios on a Tuesday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, coming up Friday night from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, we get ready for Georgia Tech in Louisville. Toe meets leather at 7:30. And one of the guys who will be obviously covering Georgia Tech all season long is beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Chad Bishop, joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Chad, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show tonight, and thanks for joining me as we get ready for actually toe, meat, and leather on Friday night. Oop. Chad, are you there?
Yeah, I got you. Can hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you. Yep. So.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm excited for football. This preseason seems like it's been a little bit longer than most. Brent Key had his media availability today, and I just sat there thinking, man, we've talked a lot about a lot of this stuff for a long time. I'm ready to see some actual football and talk about some things that actually matter.
Well, let's start offensively, because this has been a very offensively challenged program at times. And, you know, again, through the Paul Johnson era, you know, it was obviously a run heavy type of offense. 2007 was the last time a Georgia Tech quarterback threw for just 2,000 yards in a season. And it's been since 2018 that they were even in the top 70 as far as offensive yards go. Now we get Haynes King. Now we get Dominic Blaylock. You know, now we get Christian Leary coming over from Alabama, who was a four-star recruit going to Alabama. You know, how much can we expect the offensive production to rise up, if you will, and get to that level of just, you know, being a modern college football offense in today's game?
You know, it's a great question, and we don't have an answer yet. I'm just as curious as you, because you're right. I mean, outside of option football, you know, Georgia Tech offensively has struggled since they went away from it. And you're in a league in the ACC with so many very, very good offenses and elite-level quarterbacks. So Georgia Tech, from that standard, is already behind the eight ball. Yeah, they brought in Haynes King, ton of talent at wide receiver, but we have no idea who's going to step up and be that main target at wideout. They have, you know, virtually five starting offensive linemen back, you know, realistically four. But how good are those guys going to be? How physical are they going to be? How much are they going to be able to protect the quarterback? And then what's the running back situation going to look like? You have, you know, a proven guy back there in Dante Smith, and you have a transfer from Louisville and Trey Cooley. You know, how much will those guys be a factor? And what will Buster Faulkner do to get that ball in the playmaker's hands? How will that offense sort of model what he's done in years past at Middle Tennessee or Arkansas State, or even helping out Georgia from a quality control perspective the last few years? I'm really curious to see how they level up. I mean, only 17 points a game last year. I mean, that's not going to get it done in any conference. So they have to figure it out. They have to figure out a way to put the ball in the end zone and increase that point production, because no matter how good your defense is in a league of the ACC, which has some high-powered offenses, it's just not going to get it done.
Chad Bishop, beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution covering Georgia Tech, joining me here on the Wait4.com hotline. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Mr. Chad Bishop. You know, is the offensive line does have a lot of experience, but, you know, do you think that they are capable of protecting a Haynes King if they become a more balanced offense? Is this an offensive line that can protect the quarterback in the pass game as well as obviously doing some good work in the run game?
I think it depends on sort of what system and what scheme, you know, Buster Faulkner wants to go with. Is he going to, you know, have a, you know, 50 passes a game where it's sort of a Mike Leach air raid, you know, quick balls, quick slants, where they don't have to protect a lot? Is it going to be more of a drop back pro style offense where they are asked to protect a lot? Are they going to get the quarterback out on the edges? Haynes King can run a little bit. I don't know if I'd consider him a dual threat quarterback, right? But he has that capability to get out there and pick up some yards on the ground. He's even said in the preseason he's never looking to scramble, but he will if he has to. So to me, that's the question, is sort of what sort of scheme is Buster Faulkner going to employ with this group? And then when it comes to the running game, Brent Key is a former offensive lineman. We were at practice last week and he was right up, you know, in that offensive line group, coaching them, you know, getting in their faces and trying to make them better. He's going to demand a lot from that offensive line, and you know it's just going to kill him if they can't run the ball. So I'm curious to see how much they run the ball, how physical they are, how much they can run the ball in terms of yards per carry and what those running backs can do. So, a lot of people have been focusing on this quarterback battle, but to me, offensive line play is really going to dictate success of this 2023 Georgia Tech team.
Do you think that this might be an ideal time to get Louisville in this opening game? Because, you know, again, they're going with Jeff Brohm, and he's, you know, got legacy at Louisville, and it's going to be a different offensive system, and, you know, there's going to be tweaks and things like that, and, you know, obviously trying to get everybody on the same page. Could this maybe, you know, again, maybe if this game was in week 7 or 8, it might be different, but maybe is catching Louisville right at the very start maybe a good thing for Georgia Tech?
I could not agree more. I've known Jeff Brohm for a long time, covered him in his early days at Western Kentucky when he took over for Bobby Petrino there. And even back then when he first started out, you know, year after year, it would seem like that those teams would struggle week 0, week 1, week 2. Now, by the end of the year, they were a force to be reckoned with. And when we were at ACC's media days, their football kickoff in Charlotte, I was talking to a lot of the Louisville media folks, and they just kept saying how soft Louisville's schedule is. They got a lot of people back. There's a lot of expectations. There's a belief that that's going to be a very good team. But week one, you know, there's always going to be some errors. Things aren't going to be clicking the way every team wants them to be. So, yeah, I mean, if Georgia Tech's going to play this Louisville team, which has some guys back and maybe a little bit banged up from what we've heard, week one is definitely the time to face this Louisville team.
Chad Bishop joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, beat writer for the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You and I talked about this a previous show. You know, obviously Keon White headed to the NFL and actually looked pretty good through the preseason thus far. Is this a team that can put pressure up front on quarterbacks? I mean, again, we're going to see a lot. There's going to be a lot of good quarterbacks that Tech is going to face throughout the ACC. And obviously, you know, when the Bulldogs come calling, but is this a team that can put pressure on the quarterbacks? Do you think that can they rattle other teams' quarterbacks with that front line?
I'd be disappointed if they don't. I mean, they got too many guys back, especially along the front, to not do that. Daquan Dowse, Kyle Kennard, Sylvain Ujuin. They've got linebacker Trey Thomas back. They've got a couple transfers at linebacker to come in and make some plays. Paul Moala, a transfer originally from Notre Dame, spent a year at Idaho. Sounds like he has maybe won the starting job. Andre White, Braylon Oliver from Minnesota. There is a lot of depth and a lot of talent there in that front seven. Yes, it's rebuilt, but they're going to have to find a way to get after those quarterbacks. And again, it's not just, you know, freshmen and redshirt sophomores and high-level recruits that have come in. These are experienced older veteran guys. So to me, there's really no excuse for that front seven not to get after quarterbacks. If they don't, that's going to be a big-time problem for this Tech team. But with what they've done in the past, the way they came on at the end of 2022, the way Andrew Thacker, defensive coordinator, sort of turned things around from his play-calling standpoint and the success of his defense toward the end of last year, I fully expect them to be much better in terms of getting after the quarterback. Plus, really good secondary for Georgia Tech, right? So that's going to really help that pressure up front.
Yeah, and, you know, Lamiles Brooks, one of the best safeties in the conference. I mean, is that – do you think from a positional group standpoint, maybe their secondary is the real strength of this team?
Oh, I think so, no doubt. I mean, they've talked all preseason. I mean, I think – I'm not going to say they're too deep, you know, in the secondary, but they have a lot of talent back there and a lot of experience. And even some of the younger guys came in last season and made some big-time plays. And I think, you know, again, that's a little bit of catch-22. Maybe the secondary was so good because teams were able to run the ball a little bit better on the Georgia Tech defense than they were able to pass it. But, yeah, that secondary for Tech is going to make plays. They're definitely going to be the standouts for this team. And if they can continue to play as they did last year toward the end of 2022 and even raise their game a little bit, that's only going to help that front seven and help the defense as a whole.
You know, and we talked about the schedule. I know, you know, we had kind of said that, look, it, you know, there are plenty of landmines. And I think that, you know, you're catching Louisville at a good time, but, you know, you really kind of need to be, don't you, 2-0 before you go to Ole Miss and, you know, again, take on a, you know, pretty good, you know, at least a mid-level SEC team. I mean, it feels like you need to be 2-0 going into that game because, again, Ole Miss, and if that turns in, you know, if you lose one of your first two, then you got to go to Ole Miss, but then you're going to, you know, Wake Forest as well, and like Wake Forest is not obviously going to be the same team, you know, without a Sam Hartman, but still, just, you know, back-to-back games on the road like that, that's never easy. So it does feel like there's a chance to get off on a really good foot when you look at the first part of the year, but I think a lot of it does start with Louisville just getting that win and kind of building momentum, you know, going into the schedule.
The Louisville game to me is one of these sort of 50-50 games that Georgia Tech mm-hmm. has on the schedule. Louisville, Miami, Wake Forest. Those are some of the games Georgia Tech is going to have to steal if they're going to get to the postseason and get back to a bowl game. You know, you expect them to beat a Bowling Green. You expect them to beat a South Carolina State. You expect them to beat a Virginia. You do not expect them to beat Georgia, right, or Clemson, or maybe even a UNC, even though I know they were able to string that upset last year. So there's some of these games on the schedule that are just sort of maybe toss-ups on paper, or maybe where there might be a touchdown underdog or a three-point underdog, and Louisville is definitely one of those games. So coming out of the gates, yeah, your coach is new, but he was an interim coach last year. He returned a lot of the staff and a lot of the talent and a lot of his expectations. So maybe from that regard, Georgia Tech's program is just a smidge ahead of where Louisville is starting out with a whole new blank slate. So, yeah, I mean, you're playing in Atlanta. I know it's not technically a home game, but you're in your own backyard. You got to have a lot of fans there. You got to come out and perform and try to get this one. And then, yeah, like you said, you're 2-0 going to Oxford. You're feeling pretty good no matter what happens at Ole Miss.
You know, Chad, what's been the mindset of Brent Key? I mean, he did some good things last year, and look, they won more games at the end of the year than they had, I think, the last two or three seasons with the four wins. But what's the mindset of Brent Key going in? I mean, is he looking at this as like, look, you know, we're still struggling to get talent and we need to rebuild some, or, you know, is this, you know, damn the torpedoes and we got to figure out a way to get to a bowl game and things like, what's kind of his mindset going into this season?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was speaking about this topic with somebody else, and I get the impression from Brent Key that he's angry and he's agitated, and I mean that in a good way. I mean, he's, you know, Willie Taggart once used to say pissed off for greatness. I think that's sort of the mindset that Brent Key has this offseason. I think he's kind of sick of everybody saying, oh, you know, you went 4-4, great job as an interim coach. That's not to his standard. He doesn't want to go 4-4, and he doesn't want to end up 5-7. He doesn't want to hear about Georgia being back-to-back or possibly three-peat national champions every single offseason. He wants Georgia Tech to get back to the level that it was, you know, in 1990 when it won a, you know, split national championship, when it was going to big-time bowl games. So for that reason, I think he knows this is a long-term build, but I think he's pretty impatient when it comes to that. He wants to go out and win right away. He wants to get Georgia Tech back to the level it was when he was a player and how it was when he was growing up watching them on TV. And I think that's good for Tech. I don't think he's going to sort of be passive and understand that this is sort of a part rebuild and it's going to take a few seasons. He's ready to go out there and get it done this year. Now, he understands that, yeah, it is, you know, technical year one, and he's got a lot of transfers who have filled in some gaps, and but he's recruiting very well. He's already got 26 commits going into 2024, and I think he's intent on making this program next level. Now, does that happen this year? I don't think so. Does it happen next year? That remains to be seen. But Brent Key is not going to put together, you know, a five-year plan and just sit back and wait back. He wants to go out and start getting this thing done right away.
Chad, last question for you. What do you think is going to define Tech season this year?
I think it's going to be, I don't know if this sounds cliche, but just the way they play. You know, Brent Key said today, you know, it's not going to be results driven. He's more concerned with how Tech football looks and how people think of Tech football. And that's fine in the preseason, and that's fine to talk about. I want to see that happen, right? Like, I want to see, does Tech have an identity? You know, do they become that tough physical team? Maybe they do lose seven games, but maybe they're by a field goal or less, and you can sort of see the positivity in between the white lines. Are they, you know, are they 6-6, but it's like a blowout loss here and a close win there, and they're sort of all over the map, and they don't really have an identity? To me, I want to see this team sort of evolve and create their own identity and see what it's going to look like under Brent Key. That's sort of what I'm watching before, and I think that's what's going to define the Brent Key era first and foremost.
Yeah, and, you know, I will say from a personal standpoint, I think that they have to start looking like a modern college football offense. I watch this team offensively, and they just him and haw and struggle, and they can't get anything going. And, you know, it's an offensive world. I mean, in modern college football, I mean, we could talk about defenses and all that. I mean, but unless you're Georgia, unless you're Alabama, you know, at that level, yeah, you can win with those defenses. But by and large, you can't stop teams from scoring in today's college football world. And you've got to have quarterback play and guys who can put pressure and put pressure downfield. It is a college, you know, offensive world. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, there's a reason why most of the top teams in the nation, I mean, again, even Georgia's a 40-point per game, you know, team. I mean, they're not 13-10, you know, every week. I mean, they're 40 points a game. And I want to see Tech get that offensive identity and just look like they're a modern-day offense, because we haven't seen that for a long time with this program.
No, I agree. I think that's part of it is finding this identity. Is this Georgia Tech football team going to look like, you know, an Alabama? Are they going to look like a Boise State or a North Dakota State? Are they going to be more of, you know, an air raid, pass it, you know, 70 to 75% of the time? What is it going to look like? Sure, we've had a taste of it in the spring game, but things change with your personnel. Haynes King is nice. Let's see if he can sort of elevate his game. But like you said, Georgia Tech, they're going to have to at one point get some, you know, five-star quarterback. They're going to have to get that next-level guy who's a pro prospect to take this team to the next level. That's what the North Carolinas and the Wake Forests have done to the world. Tech really has to figure out, you know, where they can find that guy to really help this offense. And helping that offense helps that program take it to that next-level matchup with the Clemsons and the Georgias of the world. So let's see where this goes. It's early. You know, we haven't even started the Brent Key era yet. We're already demanding a whole lot. But, I mean, I know Georgia Tech fans are demanding just as much because they want their team to get back to national prominence.
Follow him on his personal Twitter page. Always a good follow. Mr. Chad Bishop on Twitter. He is the beat writer for Georgia Tech for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. By the way, AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work. And he joined me here on the waitfor.com hotline. Chad, as always, buddy, really appreciate a few minutes on the show, and obviously we'll be keeping up, and you know, we'll talk again here very soon.
All right. Thanks, my friend.
You got it. When we come back from the top of the hour, we'll be time for the Falcons flyover. We'll take a look at the Falcons roster as they got down to 53 today. Plus, we'll take a look at where Pro Football Focus has the Falcons roster. Chuck Green hanging out in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 910 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.